If you've a Bible, please turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark and chapter number 5. Tonight it is my desire just to tell something of how, when and where I was reached and saved by God's grace. But before I do so, I'd like to read from Mark's Gospel and chapter number 5. We're breaking into the story of the maniac of Gadara, Mark chapter 5 and verse number 18. Mark 5:18, it says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." We know that God will bless to us the reading of his precious word in public. When I was growing up, being taken along to gospel meetings such as this in the Gospel Hall in Glengormley, and a man had announced at the very outset of his remarks that he intended to tell his story of testimony, I would have sat in the audience hoping that the man would have had some great story to tell, maybe to tell of a life that had been marred and wrecked by sin, a life maybe held fast by the cords of addiction and vice, saved from a life of criminality, maybe a career of paramilitary activity, halted by the claims of Jesus Christ. But if the man had come along to our hall in Glengormley and told us he intended to tell the story of how he was saved as a young boy growing up in a Christian home, I probably wouldn't have been just as impressed. And you know, maybe I would have longed to have had some great story to tell, to stand up on a platform such as this and tell the folks in Ballyclare how I was delivered from the very gutter of sin. And yet tonight, the story I have to tell, it's a very simple story of how a boy of 7, through faith in Jesus Christ, came into the blessings of God's salvation. And yet tonight, I'm mighty glad I have a story to tell, that I can, as it were, in the words of Mark 5:19, go and tell what great things the Lord hath done for me and hath had compassion on me, that I'm heaven born, I'm heaven bound. One day I'll occupy a mansion on the hillsides of glory. And I trust that even this evening, as we'd seek to relate something of God's dealings and grace with us, that it might be a voice to sinners and their sins in Ballyclare, that you too would even seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Often before I tell how I was saved, I like to tell something of how the gospel came to enter our family. My great-granda Kenny was not brought up in a Christian home, but one day as he travelled down through the main street of the town of Randallstown, he heard a group of Christians conducting an open-air gospel meeting. They were singing hymns. And as my great-granda Kenny stood in that street in Randallstown, those searching notes of that old gospel hymn, they drifted across the street to where my great-granda Kenny stood. They were singing, "We're travelling home to heaven above. Will you go? Will you go?" To sing the Saviour's dying love. Will you go? Will you go? Millions have reached that blissful shore, their trials and their labours o'er, and yet there's room for millions more. Will you go? Will you go? As my great-granda Kenny stood in that street in Randallstown, he realised he wasn't ready for heaven. And that night as he stood there, he decided he would seek after salvation. He would seek after God's so great salvation. And shortly after, my great-granda Kenny trusted Christ for salvation. My dad was saved as a boy of 11, sitting on the back seat one Lord's Day morning in Glengormley Gospel Hall. A man arose to his feet and read those precious texts of Scripture, words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and he, bearing his cross, went forth. My dad trusted Christ and was saved for time and for eternity. My mum was saved as a girl of 16, attending a series of gospel meetings in the Newton Breda Gospel Hall, see it through that precious text of Scripture, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. As a result, I was brought up in a home where, from a very young age, we were taught the message of the gospel, taught how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You know, I'm very glad of the upbringing I had to be brought up in the British Isles, in the province of Ulster, in a land where the gospel has had such free course, to be brought up in a family where my parents were saved and had an interest that we too would be saved by God's grace. We were taken along to the Gospel Hall in Glengormley, and there we were taught in Sunday school, in children's meetings, in gospel meetings such as this, in special series of gospel meetings, our need of God's salvation. Some of my very earliest memories of childhood are spent there in Glengormley, in the Sunday school, being taught by faithful teachers the Holy Scriptures. We would have had to recite gospel chapters, chapters like John 3, chapters like Isaiah 53. I can remember singing choruses like I've a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart while I'm young. Oh, I offer the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am. There was a chorus we sang in the Sunday school. We still sing it. It's a favourite of mine. Words concerning the Lord Jesus, wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. And being brought up in that home, there were many great truths that were impressed upon us. But one of the great truths that was impressed upon us was the truth that we were sinners. I likely could have recited to you verses like Romans 3 and 23, told you how that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I could likely have quoted to you Romans 5 and 12, told you how that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and how that death had passed upon all men for that all have sinned. You know, just at this juncture in Ballyclare, I'd like to remind sinners that you too have sinned. The Bible declares that each and every one of us were contaminated, corrupted by that fatal disease called sin. You know, maybe you would look down the street to the alcoholic and you'd say, sure, he's a sinner. You'd maybe look at the drug addict wallowing in the very mire of sin and you'd say, sure, he's a sinner. Maybe a boy, and you think to yourself, you know, I wouldn't say the things those other boys in the class would say. Maybe a girl, and you think, you know, I wouldn't go to the places that they would go. You know, friend, the declaration, the pronouncement of the book that we have before us is this: for all have sinned. And as a boy, I knew my sin was taking me away from God. I knew that beyond that great veil of death lay but two destinies: heaven for those redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and hell for those who lived and died rejecting Christ. I knew this, that the Lord was coming. We were taught in gospel meetings such as this that the Lord Jesus Christ would soon come back to the air to take his waiting people home. And at that moment, the door of God's mercy would shut in the face of sinners that had rejected Christ. I knew that the Bible said, he that shall come and will not tarry. I knew not only that the Lord was coming, but you know, I knew that death was in each and every one of our tracks. I knew that death doesn't respect your age. Death doesn't respect your social status. It doesn't respect your race, your nationality. For the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not only did I know that the Lord was coming, that death was on my tracks, but I knew that God had said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We were taught that there was a season to be saved, an opportunity. The Bible said, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. And I knew there was a window in which the soul could be saved, for God had said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But I'm glad there came a moment in life's experience when I did trust Christ. in a gospel meeting just like this in Glengormley, listening as two brethren preached the gospel, I realised the only way by which I could know my sins forgiven, the only way by which I could know peace with God was through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. I realised in that gospel meeting that upon that old rugged tree outside those city walls of Jerusalem, there was one, the sinless, spotless Son of God who suffered for sins that were not his own. And that night after that gospel meeting, on my knees beside my bed, asking God to save me, I simply placed my trust in Christ. You say to me, Matthew, where was it that you had assurance that you were saved? Did you see a flashing light appear in the sky? Did you hear a voice? Was there a funny feeling that came over you? You know, friend, that night, how I had assurance that I was saved. It is the very same thing that I stand upon tonight in regards to assurance for salvation. For that night as a boy of 7, I simply rested upon the promise of the Word of God. I recognize that the Bible said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You know, friend, tonight, we'd like to ask you, do you have a moment like that? Not tonight so much a moment of baptism, not a moment of enrollment into some kind of a church register, but friend, tonight, do you have a moment that you can look back to in the history of your life when you trusted Jesus for the cleansing power, when you were washed in the blood of the Lamb? We're glad tonight could be that moment of salvation for sinners in Ballyclare. There is a great offer that is made to sinners in their sins on the basis of that finished work at the cross, where there the Lord Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, where there he was bruised for our iniquities, where the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we can be healed. Friend, tonight, upon that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered for sins. There during those 6 lonely hours upon the tree, that penalty of sin that should have been meted out upon a ruined race, God laid it upon his Son. The hymn writer said, Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low, there kneeling my Lord to the tree, and the cross they upraise, while the multitude gaze on the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. And there at the cross, wave after wave of divine wrath, it flooded across the sinless soul of Jesus Christ. At that 6th hour, and with that 6th cry, he cried with triumph, it is finished. And tonight, on the basis of a finished work at Calvary, on the basis of a risen Christ in glory, there is an offer of salvation that is made to sinners in Ballyclare. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, tonight, it could be the last time you hear the call. As we look across the world, the stage is being set. Tension in the Middle East, conflict on the soils of Europe, the coming of the Lord, it's drawing nearer and nearer. And very soon that great invitation is going to be withdrawn. Very soon the offer of mercy is going to be taken away. And yet tonight, another opportunity for sinners in Ballyclare. Another opportunity to, as it were, turn at the crossroads. Recognize that Jesus saith, I am the way, to trust in the Saviour completely and start now for heaven today. Friend, tonight you could be saved. The simple terms of God's salvation are belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May God bless his word.
Could we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please, for a short reading. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and reading the last clause of verse 3. God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Back for another short reading in Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6 and 1 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And our last reading in Mark's Gospel chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and reading from verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I trust God's blessing upon the further reading of his precious word. For the last part of this meeting, I want to draw our thought first of all to some aspect as to a great need, and that is each and every one has tonight who is not saved. The greatest need you have. And then I want to think of Romans chapter 6, of the greatest gift you can have. And then last of all, in Mark chapter 8, the greatest loss you could ever have. We live in a world of need. I don't have to come to the meeting tonight to tell you that across our world, there's those tonight in need of food, in need of home, in need of clothing. And then there is that great need of health, even probably in our present meeting. But I want to think of the greatest need of all that we have read of in 1 Timothy, and we can sum it up in three words: to be saved. It says, God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I ask you tonight, are you saved? You've heard how Matthew was saved, and I thank God there's others tonight, and you could witness to that moment in your life when you were saved by the grace of God. And I have told it here in the hall and in the old hall in the year 1968, one Friday evening about 11:15 in a farm living room just outside the village of Doke. I came to know my sins forgiven through those lovely words of John 19 when the Saviour said, "It is finished." I rested there realizing that all was done at Calvary, because before that I was trying and looking for something, as Matthew said tonight, for feelings. But no, my friend, the work was done on Calvary. God was satisfied with that work, that he raised him from the dead. And thank God tonight, if you put your trust in that finished work of Calvary, you too could be saved and be in heaven. Your greatest need, my friend, to be saved. We know that as we journey through this world and speak to people on their doorsteps and we mention the word save, they take offense. But my friend, this word saved, even in the natural realm, is very precious. If you were in difficult tonight in the sea and was drowning and going down for the last time, and someone threw a lifeline and rescued you, until your dying day, you would be thankful that they saved you. If you're in a building and it was on fire, and in the same aspect, someone rescued you from that burning building, you too would be ever thankful for that person who saved you. My friend, when we come into the spiritual realm tonight, being saved, cleansed of your sin, saved for heaven, thank God, we want to tell you tonight how that can come about. You know that at the cross there were those chief priests and those scribes, and they said, they mocked it and said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." And how true those words were, though said in derision, he saved others. And thank God tonight, my friend, even those men believed that the Saviour could save while they denied him. Remember Satan, when the word of God is preached, he comes to snatch away the good seed of the word of God. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. My friend, This night from the Word of God, we declare again, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Another verse, you've heard it often. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, similar words meaning the same, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord said to another people, except ye be converted, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That city, heaven itself, and it says of that city, those that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And why you and I need to be saved? Because of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. They sinned against God, and from then until now, you've heard already, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, the Lord said, except ye keep be converted, ye cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. With George Whitefield, a day gone by, preaching through England, the thousands and seen, many saved. Someone asked him, why do you preach so much? Ye must be born again. His answer was, because ye must be born again. My friend, ye must be born again or never enter heaven. 'Tis only blood-washed ones are there, the ransom and forgiven. I trust there's one tonight you have discovered that you are lost. For it says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And thank God you could be saved in this gospel meeting tonight. Remember, your greatest need is to be saved. And as we've read those lovely words, God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. If you thought in our first reading of the greatest need you have, my friend, I want to think from Romans, where we have read those lovely words, the greatest gift you can have, and that is eternal life. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, as he writes of Pilgrim leaving that city of destruction in his own language, his family, they called after him to return. But he put a finger into each ear and he began to run. And he cried, life, life, eternal life. My friend, that's what you need tonight, is eternal life, if you're ever going to be in heaven. As we've said already, these words, different aspects, meaning the same, being born again, being saved, being converted, having eternal life. That is the life of God, the divine life within our soul. And thank God tonight, you can have it in the simplest terms. Oh, friend, listen again. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God gave his only Son to this world to go to the cross and there to lay down his life and to shed his blood. As we sing betimes, he left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny. 'Twas the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for you and me. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. My friend, he came with purpose there to lay down his life outside Jerusalem's city walls. He had power to lay it down of himself. Man could not take it, but there he laid it down for a guilty world. And thank God, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And outside those city walls,
nearly 2,000 years ago, they laid him out, my friend, as he was before, crowned with thorns upon his lovely brow. They spat upon him, they beat him, they mocked him. There he left, that judgment hall, for that lonely hell of Golgotha. And on that cross, there he cried those cries, first of all, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But thank God, he cried, it is finished. He bare sin's heavy load. He died, and on the third day rose again, according to the scriptures. And while we gather tonight in Ballyclare, there's a real man in the glory who bears the marks of Calvary. Out of love to your soul and mine, listen again to those lovely words, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. Friend, this evening, salvation is to all, but only upon all that believe. I trust there was someone tonight discover their need. Even brought up under the sound of the gospel, you had never learned that you're lost. And if you die as you are, we say tenderly, you'll be in hell. The Lord says, if you die in your sins, that where I am, ye cannot come. Oh, tonight, flee to the Savior. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Time is running out. The Lord is coming. We've heard we're living in perilous time. Since the last days, perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. My friend, we're on the brink of his coming. He said, if I go away, I will come again. He could come tonight. I asked you, are you ready? Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. How solemn to live in a Christian country. Some have never heard the gospel. Some of those old missionaries said, why should a man hear the gospel twice when some have never heard it once? My friend, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, tonight, turn from your sin. Turn to Christ and seek him. Thank God, the Lord is more ready to save you than you are to be saved. We recall our thoughts tonight, your greatest need, in three words, to be saved. The greatest gift you can have, eternal life. And thank God, you can have it as a gift. What you do with an earthly gift, but take the gift and thank the giver. That salvation, God gave his Son. Thank God, he says in his word, the gift of God is eternal life. Trust him tonight, take the gift, and thank the giver, and pass from death unto life. Maybe someone here tonight, I trust there is. That has been the prayers of those tonight already, and in the past days, that the cry of your heart is, you say, I know I need to be saved. Can you tell me in a few words how I could be saved? Thank God, my friend, we read those lovely words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, that's my problem, this believing. What is believing? It's taking God at his word. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. How offend Matthew would be tonight if you said at the door, I didn't believe those announcements. My friend, you received them If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. God cannot lie. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Take God at his word. Believe, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and his promise is, thou might be saved. No, thou shalt be saved. Believe and you'll feel saved. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's another lovely word, my friend, in the word of God, and that is to receive. It says, to as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons or the children of God. I think of that little man, Zacchaeus. He climbed that tree. The boys and girls will know the story well. The Lord came to the tree. He called. He says, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He knew his name. He knew where he was. My friend, God knows all about you tonight. He calls you in the gospel. And says Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. To as many as received him, thank God to them. He will bring to you or bring you into that relationship, the children or the sons of God. There's another lovely word. It's Luke. It says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I think of the children of Israel. They were bitten. They were dying. But Moses was told to raise that serpent of brass in the wilderness. And those that beheld it, they lived. And thank God tonight we sing, there's life through a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. Unto him who was nailed to the tree. It's believe, it's receive, or look. But my friend, these words all meaning the same, pointing us to Christ, not to man, not to your own self, but to Christ and Christ alone. There's another lovely word that has come. For the Savior says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I go back to the time of the ark. Noah built it, and God called him. And says the Lord called Noah that day, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And thank God, Noah and his wife and all his family, they heeded the call. They stepped in. They were safe and secure from the judgment, from the flood. Hear again those lovely words, come. For it says in the word of God, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. My friend, how simple God's way of salvation. Not trying or doing one's best, but simply believing on Jesus, the weary and sinful find rest. Dear Charlotte Elliot, at the close of the meeting, said to the preacher, you preach, come, but how can I come? She was in the dark. He said, just come as you are. And thank God she did. Was saved by God's grace. Wrote that lovely hymn. Has been a blessing to many. I trust us some of the night in this hall. Listen again. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. My friend, the work has all been done. He bids you to come. If you've thought of the word believe, if you've thought of the word receive, the word look, and the word come, I want to leave one with you. It is the word call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I see a dying thief by the Saviour's side, and moments from eternity, he knows he has sinned. He said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. That cry goes out. It's a call of faith. Listen to it. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. A man who lived a life of sin, in a moment of time was saved. And while we gather in the comfort of this hall, he's in glory. Why? Because he called, accepted Christ, and he saved. But sadly, the other man lived and died. No record of him calling upon Christ and divided for all eternity. Oh, soul, tonight, these things are real. You and I have a soul that will live eternally. That soul needs to be saved. God has done all. He gave his only Son. He died on Calvary. Who will of all men to be saved? To come unto the knowledge of the truth. But I come to the last one. That is the greatest loss you could ever have. What is that? Lose your soul. Many things we lose in life. People sadly lose their health, lose their home, lose their business. But my friend, do not lose your soul. Remember, I think of a man by Judas. He traveled with those disciples for 3.5 years. He betrayed the Lord of glory. He sold him for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord said, my good of that man, had he not been born. I tell you, soul, tonight, I may never stand here again. Whatever you do in life, don't lose your soul and go down to hell. And finally, the lake of fire. Remember, you've a soul that will live eternally. You and I, either in heaven or with the lost, forever and ever. Oh, that dear man. Yes. For 30 pieces of silver. I think of another man, Belshazzar by name, in the book of Daniel. For a night's pleasure in the world, with his companions, he drank with the thousands of his Lord. It says he went out wanting, found wanting, into eternity, just for the pleasures of this world. My friend, it says in Hebrews, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin, but only for a season. Time ends, then eternity. A man losing his soul for silver. A man losing his soul for pleasure. I come to another man, Pilate by name, and that dear man losing his soul for friendship. The cry was, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. My friend, let the world go by. Sing with truth tonight. My old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go. I will go. To lose your wealth as much. To lose your health is more, but to lose your soul is such a loss that no one can restore. My friend, I leave these words with you as I bring this meeting to a close. The greatest need you have in three words, to be saved. And the greatest gift you can have in two words, eternal life. And the greatest loss you could ever have is to lose your own soul. Over 100 years ago from these shores, we know that great vessel, the Titanic, left for Southampton. And then from Southampton, she was hoping to go to New York. And we all know, sadly, that never happened. Many lost their lives. I understand on the shores of New York, there's two cards, two boards, and on one, it says, those that were lost. And on the other, those who were saved. That was very sad. Tell me, friend, tonight in Ballyclare, if life was to come to a close tonight, be one of these, saved or lost, where do you fit? There's no middle ground. I leave it with you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon you. Call upon him while he is near. He need not perish. That's why he came. That's why he died on that old rugged cross to save you. God, our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for some, no, a ransom for all. All can be saved, but sadly all will not be saved. But I ask you tonight, will you be saved? Trust in the night, pass from death unto life, and the joy of your heart will be to know your sins forgiven and heaven as your eternal home. I again send out the lifeline of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, shall we pray. Father, we thank thee for all gathered, again, for the preaching of the gospel and the testimony given. Trust that someone discovered tonight their need, come to put their trust in thee, and go out of this meeting rejoicing, and have their sins forgiven, and heaven is their eternal home. It's thy work alone to save. We just pray for help in our closing hymn, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.